Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
I want to talk to you today about relating to the Holy Spirit. So I want you to listen up and allow the Spirit of God to speak to you. One of the things I want to say at the beginning is hundreds of thousands of churches meet and they gather around in their central point. They gather around a message. Nothing wrong with that. But if you gathered today just around the sermon, you miss God from the very beginning of the service. You miss the presence of the Holy Spirit. Israel camped about the presence of God. They camped around the presence, not a man, not a message, but they camped around the presence. Now, if you don't get anything else but that today, that would be enough. To camp around the presence of God. Because if you're not aware, and so much of the church is not conscious of the fact of the presence of the Holy Spirit. So we can come and do our duties and do the things that we're supposed to do and never be conscious of Him being present. But they were always conscious of His presence because they camped around His presence. And we must have a bigger consciousness and awareness of who He is. You will reflect whatever world that you're aware of. So whatever world that you're aware of and that has your attention and that has your awareness, that's the world that you're going to reflect. So if you're just aware of this natural world and what's going on, that's what you're going to be overshadowed by. But if your awareness is about the kingdom of God, what God is doing, what the Holy Spirit is doing, and how He's operating, then that is the world that you're going to reflect wherever you go. That's the world that you're going to be aware of, and that's the world that you're going that's going to overshadow you. There's a lot of people in the world today, a lot of people in church today that is stressed, overwhelmed, burn out. They have all this stuff that's going on, and it's because they haven't been completely aware of the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's the reason it's vital, it's a very important message to be able to understand from the Word of God and by the Spirit of God to understand who He is. That He is a person, not an it. He's a person. He's God. Not used to hearing it said that way, but God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So for you and I to be filled up with the Holy Spirit, we're talking about being filled with the Spirit, being filled up with the Holy Spirit, we're actually being filled up with God. True. You know, so we need to understand that he's present. But we struggle a lot of times because we deem him as a concept, a thought, an idea, or an influence. He's really referred to a lot as the influence. He's an influence. Well, all of that is true, but he is much, much more than words of that nature. He's a person. the person of the Holy Spirit. And I want to talk to you a little bit. This will be a series, but I want to talk to you just a little bit about the person of the Holy Spirit. Who is he? And why is it that we need him? When we look at this thing about him and his work, it's really difficult to understand the work of the Holy Spirit. How does he work? You're not going to be able to attain the fullness of how he works until you know who he is. Right? Is that true?
Yeah.
How he works, we must know who he is. And we've got to be able to be aware and conscious of the fact of who the Holy Spirit is. And why is he here? Do you understand that, or do you know this, that whatever God is going to be doing in the world today, you know who he's going to be doing it through? The Holy Spirit in us. Jesus has done his work. His work on earth is what? Finished. That's what he said on the cross. He didn't say, I'm finished. He didn't, because he's still doing something. You know what he's doing today? He's on the right hand of the Father doing what? Making intercession for whom? Me. You. All of the saints. He said he's making intercession. He's praying. He's making intercession for all the saints. Because when he was on the cross, he said, it is finished. What's finished? What he came to earth to do. By the way, that word, it is finished, some of you already know this, but that word, it is finished, in the Greek, it is the perfect tense, which means it is done one time, never to be repeated again. And the effect of it being done that one time is still ongoing. That's what it means. So when he said it's finished, guess what? It's finished. He didn't have to die again. He's died once and for all. So he's already done his work. That's the reason he said it's finished. But you know, he told the disciples, you know, it is to your advantage. While he's on this earth, he said, it is to you. He said, I'm going to be leaving. You know how the disciples, they hung on to him. No, we don't want you to go. Man, we just got this thing started. This thing just got started. Look at the people that has fought. I mean, can you imagine their thought process? I mean, it's not all written in the Bible. But listen, let's don't make these guys so lofty that they didn't think human thoughts. No, we just got it going. Man, look, we got thousands following us. You can't leave now. And even Peter, Jesus saying he's going to go die. And Peter just took it on himself to get Jesus pulled aside. I mean, he didn't talk to him in front of the disciples. He pulled him aside and said, now listen. It's almost like, now you listen to me, Jesus. This ain't going to happen. This ain't going to happen. Why is that? Because he's of the opinion that what Jesus is saying is wrong. You know, we have those opinions sometimes. God, this cannot be right. What you just said, this can't be right. Oh, but it is. And he's wanting to stop Jesus from following the plan of God because he came to do the will of the Father. So he's telling him, it's not going to happen. And you remember what Jesus did? He rebuked him and he said, "Get behind me, Satan." Now, who was he talking to? He was talking at Peter, but who was he talking to? Satan. Who was whispering in Peter's ear? See, if we do not camp around his presence, we can come to church without him. And believe me, there's a lot of congregations that do. Why? Because man's in control. Everything has got to be done the way man has decided it to be, and that's how it's going to be with no changes. But you camp around the presence, have you know that it can move from what you planned. It can deviate from what you had planned, because the Bible says man makes his plans, but God orders his steps. But the ordered steps can be rejected. I really want you to do this. Nah. No. I really want you to do this. This is me. That's the reason when you come in, if you came in today just to be preached to, just to have a sermon, you miss God during the worship. Charlie, even though he admitted his weakness with his voice and with his throat and everything, he went ahead and did everything that he could at his own age. But listen, what I wasn't hearing the weakness of his voice. It was there. But I wasn't focused on the weakness of his voice. I was focused on the very presence of God that was operating in him, making his weakness the very strength of God when he reveals himself through someone who's willing to say, I surrender. I surrender my weakness to you as well. So you can miss God if you're only here for the message, only here for the sermon. We've got to be camped around his presence. So you know the presence of God, or you could have missed him during the speaking. You could have missed him during the baptism. It was just one baptism. It's one. And I tell you what it meant. I tell you what it meant to that one. It meant the world to her. And heaven applauded. So you can miss the presence of God even in a baptism. You can miss the presence of God during announcements. We have this innate nature about us that wants to categorize and say, okay, this is God, but this is not. Why can't we just start here, sing, preach without any announcements or without any of this or without any of that? Do you know how many announcements God made or Jesus made? I'm going over here. What is that? That's an announcement. Was it God? Sure it was. Camp around his presence. You've heard me say this before. I'm sort of done with meetings that doesn't have him in it. If it's not about him being present, then let's get him present and then let's meet. It's like this group of people, they were praying. Some call them deacons, some call them elders and all that. And they're trying to get this thing worked out, and they're hammering on it. And they just can't agree on it. Just can't get it done. Just can't agree. Finally, one of them says, well, I guess we're going to have to pray. The other one said, well, has it come to that? In other words, we can't get this done without praying. Well, praying is what we should have done first. You know why I know God's here? I brought him. Now, I'm not saying that arrogantly. I'm telling you the truth. One little boy says, I brung God today. I said, you what? He said, I brung God today. And I said, well, that's good. I'm glad you brung him. Well, if he's in you, guess what? You brought him. Holy Spirit, his presence. You know, his presence so many times through the Bible is looked at like his face. It's like his presence, it's his face. And when his face, you know, the prayer that's prayed, he said, may the face of the Lord do what? Shine upon you. You know what that means? That means his favor. When his face is shining, that's his favor. The favor of God is looking at you. It's, you know, medical science. Somebody's going, I don't know, somebody's scratching their head right now saying, is he ever going to read the Bible? I've already quoted some, so I'm going to read some scripture. But medical science has already proven that there is a joy mechanism in the brain. A joy mechanism in the brain that when the caretaker of a baby, did I hear a baby? I need that baby. Can I hold that baby? I can try. Well, undoubtedly, she doesn't know who I am. Go ahead and tell the baby who I am so they'll know who I am. You know, I am an experienced pawpaw. No, I'm can I try? Okay, you come up. That way, if I get in a mess, I'll just hand the mess off to you. That's an experienced pawpaw. Oh, that's the baby's name.
Landon.
Come on over here in the light. In the light. There's a joy mechanism that, hey, Landon, how you doing, buddy? Oh, it's good to see you, partner. But there's a joy mechanism. Hey, Landon. But there's a joy mechanism in his little brain that when she gets, what is your name again?
Brittany.
Brittany. When she gets over there, and do you know when you have babies, you'll say things and do things that you would never do. Oh, yeedy beedy baby. He's such a good baby. Yes, he is. He's such a good baby. Good chicken, chicken. You see him laugh? You see him grin? See him grin? Now, I like this. See, I told you. Are you surprised? I'm not. While I walked over here, I'm saying, God, please let this baby be a good baby for me. See, I pray all the time. How you doing, Lynn? See, there's a joy mechanism that's in his brain that when his caretaker looks at him and just that look, smiles begin, his eyes light up. Yeah. I put him over here on my back pocket. Now, me and him would just go. Yeah, he's smiling at Mom. He said, look, he looked at Mom, and that smile just broke out. She never said a word. He just looked at her and just started smiling. Why? That joy mechanism kicked in. Why is that? Because he has the innate ability made in his brain from God that when the face of love, when the face of acceptance and total care for you begins to be seen, it sparks the joy. It sparks the joy. Give Landon a hand. Thank you. Whew. See, when you know the Holy Spirit and you know how He loves you, the Bible talks about the love of the Holy Spirit of God. He loves you and He's in you. And He is always in pursuit of having your heart and having your being completely conformed to the express image of Jesus. He's always in pursuit of that. And then when His face, when the face of God begins to look upon you. See, when the face of God, that's His favor. How many of you believe you have favor, the favor of God in your life? See, there's Christians all around us that do not believe they have the favor of God. Why? They don't know Him. Don't know Him. That's when it's so important to know Him. Y'all get anything out of this?
Yes.
Camp around His presence. Make His presence the most treasured thing. The most treasured thing that's going on in your life. You can get so connected to a man that you can forget God. And whatever the man says is what you're going to do. But if that man is not following God, you missed him. It's his presence. We'll be talking about more about him as a person in the next few messages. But it's vital. It's extremely vital that we're conscious of His presence. A consciousness of His presence. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself here, but you know, when Jesus was in a crowd, y'all remember that? Jesus was in a crowd walking along. People were all against Him, rubbing it because it was just so packed out. You know, Jesus can draw a crowd. He's irresistible, but He is rejectable. He's got all this crowd. He's got this going on, and this woman who shouldn't even been outside because of her condition, been bleeding for 12 years. And she's pressing through this crowd, navigating through all the hindrances that are in her way. Because in her soul, she's already made her mind up that what? If I can just touch the hem of His garment, I'll be made whole. So all the people that are around Him and in her way, she starts going through. She starts navigating through to get to Him. Pressing, 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 down low, up high, moving people, pressing, pressing, pressing. Why? She wants to touch. She doesn't even want to touch Him. She just wants, if I could just touch just the edge of His garment, just the edge of His garment, if I can just get to that place. She touched Him. What'd Jesus say? Who touched me? What did the disciples say? You know, in modern day term, how in the world are we supposed to know who touched you? Jesus, there's people all around you touching you. How are we supposed to know who touched you? But He ignored them. Now somebody touched me. What was He aware of? He was aware of, he's conscious of the Holy Spirit upon him. We're going to get to that in a minute. He's conscious of the presence of the Holy Spirit upon him. Now he's conscious that power from him, by the Holy Spirit, power from him has left him and went to her. And he's conscious of the fact that somebody has drawn on the Holy Spirit that he's carrying. Oh, he says, so who touched me? No. Somebody touched me. Not just touched me. Somebody touched me with faith. Somebody, and it was this woman. I touched you. What did he say? Your faith has made you whole. But see, the most amazing thing was his consciousness and his awareness that part of the power that the Holy Spirit on him left him. Didn't leave him to stay. It left him to heal. Are we that conscious that somebody around us could be drawing on the very thing because of the presence that we carry? Or is it just another day getting a loaf of bread? Getting a loaf of bread is fine. Invite me to come help you eat it. It'll be fine. Conscious of the Holy Spirit, the person of who He is. Aware that He's in you. Now I'm going to give you this passage. I want you to, I might read a verse of Scripture. Who knows? He was the Son of God. But when he was on this earth, he referred to himself as the Son of Man. He was 100% man and he was 100% God. God the Father sent him, he commissioned him to come. And he had a job to do. So he left heaven, all the splendor of heaven, and became man. And here's the most amazing part that a lot of times we will miss it. We will check out sometimes. It'll just sort of let's go over. We'll just let it go by. But you know, he came down and he was 100% God. But the Bible says this. The Bible says this over in Philippians chapter 2. He had equal status with God. In verse 6, he had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantage of that status. No matter what. Not at all. This is out of the Message. Then came the time he set aside the privileges of deity. Notice he did not put aside deity. He was still God, but he put aside the privileges of deity. The privileges of what the Godhead can do. He put aside the privileges of that, laid it aside. He never stopped being God. He never stopped being the Son of God, and he was still the Son of Man. But he was human. He laid aside the privileges of being God. He didn't lay aside Godship. He laid aside the privileges of being God, of deity, and took on the status of a slave. Yes, he became human. Having become human, watch this, he stayed human. If we miss that, we often think that God going through, that Jesus is going through this stuff, and when he's in a very difficult place, he turns back into God and just does his number and does through that. But he did not do that. Once he became human, he stayed 100% human. So he was still 100% God, but he laid the privileges of being God, laid them down. Why did he do that? I can tell you why he did it. You know, without him doing that, he could still do the miracles. Him being God, he could go across the land, do any kind of miracles, and we would still be, oh, ah, wow. And we would still do that, praise God. But we would do that only as a spectator. Why? I'm not God. If he used his God privileges, I can't do that. I'm not God. I'm only a spectator, but Jesus didn't want spectators. He wanted followers. He wanted to be able to show and be an example of what we can do. Do how? By completely depending upon the power of the Holy Spirit. See, the Bible says that he laid all that aside, became man. He was commissioned from the Father with authority. All authority was given to him. He was commissioned from the Father, come from heaven with all authority, but that's not all he needed. What else did he need? Everybody say the word power. He had all authority, but he needed power. Why? Because as a man, he didn't have any. Come on now. As 100% man, he didn't have any. If he starts using his God resources over here that he's God, I'm done. I'm out of the picture. I can't do that. That's the reason he laid that aside, became a man, but yet he was still God. He had all authority that was from heaven given to him, and he was commissioned, but he needed power. So what happened? Here's what happened. Let me read out of the Passion Translation what it says in Philippians. He existed in the form of God, and he gave no thought to seizing that alone to it for his own supreme prize. He didn't even think about grabbing on it. Instead, he emptied himself of his outer glory. He emptied himself of his outer glory by reducing himself to the form of a servant. He became human. He humbled himself and became vulnerable, choosing to be revealed as a man. He listened to the Father and was obedient in everything he heard, and he was a perfect example even to death. What about this power? What about miracles? Here's where it came in at. You ready? Mark 1 says this, and it came about in the days Jesus came to Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Baptized. He walks up to John, that's his cousin. He walks up and he said, I want you to baptize me. He said, I'm not worthy to baptize you, because he just got through saying, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I can't. He said, well, it's fitting. Watch this. You know, a lot of times we just miss this. Do you know the baptism that John was giving? The water baptism, and it was the baptism of repentance. Everybody say repentance. How in the world are you going to baptize Jesus, who is perfect, in the baptism of repentance? Can you see the difficulty John was having? Jesus didn't need to repent. Why? Hadn't done anything wrong. Well, why did he let John baptize him? For me and you. For our righteousness. Giving us an example of how we are to follow him. We are to follow him. But it says that when he was baptized, and immediately coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. Here's something else we miss. After being baptized, he gets up from the water, and he saw the heavens open. So we think that's just a couple of little clouds going. Ta-da! Nope. You look up that word. You know what that word means? It means there was a violent rolling and a tearing in the heavens. There was a violent rolling and tearing. This is at his baptism. A violent rolling and tearing in the heavens. How do I know that? It's the same word that says, and the veil was rent from top to bottom. It is the same word that says the rocks split open. Same word. Look it up. Same word. So it was a violent rumble. And out of that violent rumbling, the heavens opened, and here comes a dove. Out of all of this, boom, here comes a dove. Dove surely can't come out of that. Oh, yes, he did. Here's the Holy Spirit coming as a dove. Look, did you miss it? Or did you think it was an angel that came over here? When all these church ladies that was sitting over here, all these church ladies that was sitting over here, and KC came over here with those mighty wings and all that. You know, what does she represent? She didn't represent an angel. See, if you're around the presence of God, you know what she's representing. She's representing the power of the Holy Spirit to move upon a people and to be present in such a way that they move and migrate over here to the cross. Why? Only the Holy Spirit can do that. Man can't. And nobody else can. Heavens violently opened. And he said he saw the Holy Spirit coming. And the Bible said, the Bible did not say it came in him. The Bible said it came upon him. Holy Spirit is in you for you. Bill Johnson said this a long time ago, and it made so much sense to me. He's in you for you, but he's upon you for others. Why? Jesus had never done any miracles until that day. Why? He was man. Pulling on the resources of man, but he was commissioned with authority, but he knew he had to have what? Power. And that was going to come. Why? He was going to completely depend not on his God character over here, his qualities. Not on that. He was going to depend completely upon the Holy Spirit so others could follow him who were imperfect. You know who that includes? Me. Why? Because all we have to do is completely yield to the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, and we'll be doing exactly what God wants us to do. Something too big for you? Well, it's not too big for God. See, we should have an appetite. You know, somebody once before said, you know, well, miracles are not the whole gospel. True. But the gospel won't be whole without the miracles. Let me say that again. The gospel won't be whole without the miracles. No, people say, well, you know, I don't believe in that miracle stuff. You don't till you need one. And then all of a sudden you start believing in them. Or all of a sudden you want one. You should have an appetite to do the impossible. Well, I can't do the impossible. You're exactly right. But nothing is impossible with God. Got more to say, but it's five after. I tell you what I'll do, though. I'll pick up right here, and I'll give you some more. There's Mark 1. We're at Mark. Did I never read Mark 1? Yes, I did.
You went all around it.
I went all around it. Did I go all around Mark 1? What did I say about Mark 1? Mark 1. Oh, he's seven. That Mark 1, 9, that's it. He came and he got baptized. He was baptized, and coming up from the water, he saw the heavens opening up. And then he said this, or then a voice. Watch this. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, heavens open. What does that mean? Well, it means the heavens open. That means there's a big old hole up there. I wonder what that hole's up there for. No. You know what it is? You cannot discern the spiritual aspect, because if you're not thinking spiritually, you're going to miss it anyway. Why? The hole in heaven means all the resources of heaven is at your disposal. Well, I just don't believe that. Well, you don't get to walk in it. It's just that simple. I don't believe that's for today. Well, then you wait for another day. Listen, I'm telling you, when the heavens open, the resources of all of heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Everybody say, on earth.
On earth.
On earth, as it is in heaven. You're not going to do the will of God on earth as it is in heaven if you don't have heaven's resources. Yes. Then a voice comes out of the open heaven and says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Notice he didn't say in what he did. He didn't say, "This is my beloved Son and I just love what he did." In whom I am well. He ain't done the first miracle. Not the first. What is he well pleased with? Who Jesus is. You are what? A child of God. You are a daughter or you're a son of God. Yes or no? Yes. You know the Father's voice over you? You are my beloved daughter in whom I am well pleased. Why? He's looking at you with favor and he's letting you know I love you more than you can ever imagine. And I accept you into my very own. But you don't know what all I've done. He said, in whom I am well pleased. The Holy Spirit comes and starts working all this stuff that doesn't look like him. No, oh, I'm having fun today, but I got to close. Did you learn anything today? Presence, his presence, his presence, his presence. The presence of the Holy Spirit. Stand to your feet. Anyone here question, you question the presence of God being inside you? Anybody here? I'm questioning. I just don't really know that his presence is really inside me. I want you to raise your hand. You have a question. I don't really know that he's really inside me. Anybody? Okay. We're all family. Close your eyes. Breathe on me. Breathe on me, Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Take thou my heart, cleanse every part, Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Now you know it. Breathe on me. Breathe on me. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Take thou my heart. Take thou my heart, cleanse every part, cleanse every part, Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Father, I thank you so much for your word today. I thank you so much for your presence. Lord, we don't want to go without your presence. We're like Moses. If your presence does not go with us, how will they discern? How will they know that we are a different people? So, Father, in Jesus' name, let us be so conscious and so aware of the Holy Spirit's presence in our life that even when we go to the store, go get groceries, or go get gas, or go to the neighborhood, or go to school, wherever it is that we go, that we're conscious of your presence and that you're inside us and that you're going to move in us and move through us. For your glory, in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. Give God praise. You're at liberty to go.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org. or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.